Yes, it's good to welcome back Brian Hughes, who, as I'm sure you know by now, is a consultant solicitor of Shenfield-based Rayner Hughes. You were due to be talking to Scott Ross today, but you know, Brian, that Scott is a little under the weather, so you've got me, I'm afraid.
Well, hello, Bob. I'm sorry that Scott
well,
flew.
Well, of course, yes. Yeah. We wish him well. But Scott has let me know that today you're turning the spotlight on mediation and divorce.
Yes, that's right. Both my late wife and I qualified as family mediators more than 20 years ago in anticipation of the implementation of the Family Law Act.
Right.
The Act was intended to enable couples to avoid arguments in open court over things like property, finance, including pension entitlements, and children. Unfortunately, key areas of the Act were never fully implemented due to a change of government within a year of the original Act being passed. Nevertheless, the concept of mediation has survived, and it's now an integral part of divorce or separation proceedings.
Yes. Now, let's get back to basics, though. What exactly does mediation involve?
Well, there are quite a number of questions anyone who's contemplating separation or divorce should ask themselves before they start down the path of separation and divorce. Right. First off, is there any chance that I and my partner might be able to work things out? Secondly, do I know what the consequences of the separation will be, and can I handle them? Can I get my partner to leave our home, or should I leave with or without the children and live elsewhere? Am I just overstressed and merely threatening to do something that I don't really want to do?
Right.
Can I afford to leave our home, and if I can, where will I go? What are my plans for the future? What will I do? The major difficulty all parties face in the breakdown of relationships is heightened emotions. Mm. The couple are usually stressed and quite irrational, some couples more so than others. The more stressed they are, the less likely they are to think rationally about what will happen to them over the longer term, to themselves and their families.
Yeah.
And that's where mediation can help, as it allows couples to reflect on the situation in which they find themselves, and if separation or divorce appears inevitable, to try and resolve property, financial and family issues in private, and hopefully reach a mutually acceptable negotiated settlement. Many couples realise that their relationship has broken down and wish to cause the least stress to themselves and their children by the use of mediation. It's faster, quicker, and less traumatic, cheaper than litigation, which is now the fallback option if one of the parties to a separation or divorce simply refuses to mediate or if the mediation fails.
Yes. I mean, I know from personal experience that divorce can be an extremely emotional time for people, and it's probably not the best time to be making very important decisions. But it's interesting that you mention cost, because it has always been my opinion that the only real winners in any divorce proceedings are the lawyers.
Just so. When I first started practicing in the field of divorce, and don't forget, I've been a solicitor for over 50 years.
Really, yeah.
The only way of getting a divorce was by litigation.
Right.
The problem with litigation was that each party would go to a solicitor who would invariably start throwing verbal brickbats at the solicitor for the other party. Hmm. Each would accuse the client of the other, of doing things that precipitated the divorce because they wanted to prove that the other party was at fault.
Yeah.
Now, this was profitable work for lawyers, but many lawyers, like myself, got fed up with some of their counterparts who seemed more intent on clocking up fees than helping their clients to resolve their problems.
Right. Yeah. So has that changed now? What has changed?
It has. First off, the Matrimonial Causes Act in 1973, which said that couples don't have to slug it out in court.
Right.
They could have a consensual divorce after 2 years separation. And the second was the Family Law Act 1996, which I mentioned earlier, in which provision for mediation was introduced.
Mm. So could you spell out some of the advantages provided by mediation and just how it actually works in practice?
Well, straight away, it's both a faster and more cost-effective method of dealing with the major issues. It takes a quarter of the time and is a quarter of the cost.
Oh, very good, yeah.
It's in private, confidential, and avoids bitter correspondence between solicitors, which can raise the stress levels of the parties rather than reduce them.
Yeah.
It allows couples to engage in constructive discussion rather than negative argument at an early stage before legal costs escalate to the point where in some cases neither party can afford to continue and matters resolved unresolved as a result. Mm. What is discussed cannot be repeated in court or elsewhere unless the safety of someone is at risk.
Okay.
When, for example, a couple cannot agree on arrangements for their children after separation, mediation is less disruptive, faster, and far less expensive than getting a judge to decide for them. I must stress that nobody has to use mediation, and nobody can be pressured into agreeing anything during mediation. But if a partner or spouse doesn't want to go to mediation and just wants to litigate, he or she would still have to produce a certificate showing that he or she has met a mediator first and has considered mediation at a mediation information and assessment meeting, which is called a MIAM. Mm. The government thinks that this is usually better than that the couple should decide property, finance and child related matters, if they can, rather than have the court doing it for them. I have to emphasise that family mediation is focused very much on the views and needs of the children of a family and is a private place for parents to plan together for the future care of their children.
Yeah, well, it sounds very sensible to me. Who are these mediators and how do separating couples find them?
Mediators are neutral and don't take sides, so they can't give advice, legal advice, to either party. They'll usually recommend each partner or spouse to obtain legal advice alongside the mediation process and will give guidance as to when this should happen. However, some mediators will provide general information to both parties if this is appropriate. Some mediators are also qualified to consult with the children of a family as well.
Right.
Your solicitor can refer you to one, and so can the National Mediation Council, the Family Mediation Council, and there's also an organisation called National Family Mediation.
Right.
You'll find a lot of references to local mediators on the internet. Ultimately, if the couple cannot reach agreement by mediation, then the only answer is the court.
Right. So how much do mediators charge? What's it going to cost people to do this?
The charge varies according to the individual services required. Some charge by the hour and some per session. Many give a couple the first session at a reduced fee, but they will all quote a fee or a rate up front, and there's nothing to stop a couple checking a number of mediators' charges before using one.
Right.
They will also advise on the possibility of legal aid being available.
Right. So does mediation only apply to married couples?
No, not at all. It also applies to civil partnerships and any couple who are ending their relationship, whether they're married or not.
Right. What are the outcome of these sessions and how do couples actually finalise whatever has been agreed?
That's a good question. A mediator will hold an initial mediation information and assessment meeting, a MIAM, which I've referred to, and then indicate whether it's worthwhile to continue. I say this because sometimes a mediator might think that the couple are not really ready for mediation. But if the mediation carries on, usually for between 3 and 6 sessions, and agreement is reached, the mediator will produce a memorandum of understanding, which is signed by the parties and embodied by the solicitors advising each party into a consent order, which will then be made by the court.
Right.
It's important to understand that you can't, and certainly shouldn't, get a decree absolute of divorce until property, finance and children issues are resolved.
Absolutely. What's to stop people from bypassing mediation, though, and just turning up at court and telling the judge what they've agreed between themselves?
Some couples, unfortunately, think they can do just that.
Right.
Negotiate on property, finance and the children on their own. And others turn up in court as litigants in person.
Okay.
To tell the judge they can't afford a mediator, right, let alone a solicitor. But in these cases, the couple usually have little or no idea of the law.
Yeah.
My advice to them would be to check whether they can obtain free mediation. And if free mediation is not available, pay for at least one safety check session with a mediator before embarking on a DIY divorce. Any couple should pay for at least one joint session with the mediator before they separate or divorce.
Yes, well, it's an absolute minefield, and I think people need expert help and, coming to conclusions.
They do.
It's also a messy and distressing business, divorce. But thank you very much for talking us through the mediation process, Brian. That's very interesting. So, you'll be back again. Do you have a topic for next time yet?
Well, I'd like to follow up the theme of divorce and separation And I may well continue with that.
Right.
It's about as common an occurrence as for a substantial proportion of the population as house purchase. But I may ask a family mediator who's an expert on parenting and divorce to give the next session.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that would be great. That would be excellent. Well, if you missed any of that, we're going to put that conversation up on the Phoenix FM website. And Brian, thank you so much for coming in today. I must take your photograph because you're looking exceptionally dapper today. Very nice. You're putting me to shame. I thought I was fairly smart.
But sorry about that, Bob.
No, don't apologise. Absolutely wonderful. We've got to get your picture on the website. Thank you so much.